Nothing lights us up more than helping people grow their wealth through multifamily investing in a way that actually feels good and makes sense where they are right now. That's exactly why we created the Where Am I Now Multifamily Assessment.
Here's the thing, no two journeys ever look the same. Maybe you're just starting out and simply curious about what's possible. Maybe you're dipping your toes into your really first passive investment, or maybe you're craving that behind the scenes peek at how it all works.
You might even be gearing up to go big and acquire your first deal, or ready to scale your portfolio to new heights by teaming up with strong partners who can help you grow like never before.
Instead of tossing you one size fits all advice, boring and not helpful, this assessment zooms in on your exact stage of growth.
It helps us get to know your goals, your challenges, and what gets you most excited about building wealth through multifamily investing, so we can hand over the tools, resources, and support that actually moves the needle for you.
The best part? It only takes a few minutes, but the clarity you walk away with, that's the magic. Think of it as your roadmap to what's next.
Ready? Head to kittysisters.com/whereaminow to get started. That's kittysisters.com/whereaminow.
In today's episode, we're breaking down the five things that are making investors irrelevant in the most competitive era ever, and the exact strategies we're using to stay at the top of the multifamily real estate industry. By the time we're done, you're going to know the five levers that will determine whether you thrive in 2026 or get erased like a canceled reality star. And honestly, some people won't survive this truth.
We can't wait to begin this journey with you. Check us out at thekittysisters.com/podcast.
So before we dive in, here's why we get to talk about this. We have raised over $130 million from individual investors, built a $400 million multifamily real estate portfolio. We've navigated many challenging markets, sat in rooms with billionaires who literally rewrote the industry's playbook, exited over $45.2 million, and saved our investors more than $93 million in taxes and counting. So this isn't theory for us. We didn't just learn this game, we're living it. Okay, so let's get into it. Everyone thinks they're losing because of interest rates, deal flow, the economy, but the real truth is way scarier. You're losing because you're playing a game that doesn't even exist anymore. So Palm, what's actually keeping investors alive in 2026 and beyond?
One word, community. And here's why it matters more than anyone else realizes. Winning deals alone by yourself, like a lone wolf, it's dead. Lately, we spoke to a lot of next-gen moguls, really, really impressive people who seemingly came from nothing and started out at such a very young age and are building amazing platforms. And this isn't just even in real estate. It's in software, it's in technology, it's in other innovative spaces. And one of the things that we drew a conclusion on is they didn't come up in a silo. They weren't built in a vacuum. They didn't grow their business in an enclosed space without any help. The reason that they survive and actually are thriving is because they accelerated their performance and their growth through their community, a community that helped them actually build their support system so that they weren't doing this alone, a community that actually helps them to even buy their own platform. So those are the things that we thought back and thought and reflected. How would that have been in our lives? What would have that look like if we had that strong sense of community that was really there to help each other win? No competition, no ulterior motives, just pure unadulterated support system that help each other. And that's what we were really looking at. And we realized that there was something we were lacking.
If we had the right room from day one, we would be dangerously far ahead by now.
I would agree with that. Exactly. And that's the reason why we're building our own, a space where abundance is a default, competition is so last season, a room where people actually want you to rise, and everyone is aligned in value, growth, and integrity. The room doesn't exist for us right now. So we will create it. And that's why we will stay relevant.
Palm, you keep saying the biggest threat right now is the lack of innovation. What does that even mean?
You know, like, that's a really good question. I think in the multifamily space for the longest time, there's been a tried and true playbook. Buy apartments that are run down, that looks a little bit beaten up, and then go in, do some light repair work, raise rents, and make a bajillion dollars, aka classy apartments. Raise your hand if you've heard some internet guru or guru online teaching you, even in 2025, going into 2026, to go buy those apartments. Raise your hand. And you know what? Like, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, they're doing really everyone a disservice because it's disingenuous. The reason they're advocating for you to do C-class deals, value add, is because they're teaching you how to do those things because they're scared of the price tags of A-class apartments. And they can spew out at the top of the lungs that, hey, I need a lot of money in C-class apartments. But let me ask them in front of you guys right now, how many of them made that kind of money in 2023, 24, 25, and even going into 2026? And I can dare say none of them did. Because because the market condition changes, even the lending environment has changed so drastically that most lenders aren't even willing to lend on C. So let alone buyers coming in and buying it. If the deal is selling at a discount, dig into the story. There's definitely a reason why it's selling for less. In today's market, we're already seeing pricing increase happening because of increased transaction volume. But if you're stuck thinking that you only have to buy C, what you're going to end up having is you're going to have loan issues, you're going to have buyer issues, you're going to have tons of deferred maintenance that you did not expect, and it's going to blow up your expense budget to the point where maybe you don't have enough CapEx in reserve.
So recently, I heard many buyers are pitching that, hey, the seller set the price for, let's say, like $30 million, and I'm getting a $5 million discount. That means this is a good deal. But in reality, like you just said, the environment is different. It's not necessary. It's because, hey, they're getting at a lower price. It's because they can't get the loans.
Yeah. So that's one of the issues right now for C-class apartments. And again, a lot of us, and I was talking to a friend over the weekend, and the funny thing is, like, sometimes we confuse 2026 with 2000s. So we think like we're still living in 2000s. That's 26 years ago. So if you do the math, a C-class apartment built in the 60s, 70s, you know how old those are? Those are literally almost 50 to 60 year old apartments. Even B-class are 40 to 30 year old apartments. That's why we only buy A-class apartments, or we build brand new constructions, because we've gone through the whole cycle. We've gone through, hey, by the way, the foundation that needs to be repaired. By the way, all the roofs needs to be repaired. By the way, the electrical system is not working. The water heaters aren't working. The pipe is bursting. The pipe's bursting. All those things happen when you're buying old stuff, old properties. And so when people teach you, hey, go buy C-class, you know why they teach you that? Because it's easier to get new people to go buy stuff like that.
Because it's a lower price point if you entry.
And if you ask any more experienced people, of course they started somewhere. Of course, at the time it made sense to buy C-class apartment.
Even us, we started with C-class. Right?
But the minute we could, we jet right out of that space. We not want any part of it. And so for us, it would be disingenuous if we go and tell new people, hey, go buy C-class, when we know the pitfalls and the issues that will arise. There's two separate, very, very different distinct things I want you guys to understand. There's a difference between winning the deal and actually winning the deal. What do I mean by that? Winning the deal, meaning you are able to buy the deal. A discount or no discount, a loan, raise money, whatever, right? That's really where the deal starts. That's not when you win. You win the deal when you sell the deal. When you exit. And that's why the second win is a more important win. And when you're not careful, and when you go out and buy C-class properties, it's going to be very hard for you to win the actual deal. Getting awarded the property is the beginning of the battle. It's nothing. Dealing with the expectations from your investors, making sure you do your best to preserve their wealth, making sure you help grow the property, protecting, being the best steward of the property, that's where the game begins. And if you go out and buy C-class apartments today in 2026, I guarantee you it will be very challenging. There are going to be a lot of things that you didn't expect. There's going to be a lot of issues. Even affordability will become a part of the problem, because when you're buying C-class, typically you're dealing with blue-collar workers who can't afford your rent increases to support changing the roof.
All your beautiful business plan or parking,
all those
Amazon lockers,
all those really nice, fluffy other income things that you think you can just add on, slap it on, and people will do it. Like, this is not Field of Dreams. Build it and they will not come. Build it and they will not just pay your increased rents. There's increased competitions. There's other opportunities. There's other availability of housing options. And if you're going to charge a whole bunch of money for a dilapidated apartment versus us, who are going to charge maybe less or even the same price, but we have a brand new townhome, which one are you going to pick? And that's why for us right now, you have to really pay attention, because what someone tells you, and this is something we learned from one of our friends, he said, like, stop listening to people and start thinking, does it make sense? I think a lot of times, like, we take away our logic from our smarts from whatever we do in our own business, and somehow we leave it at the door when we enter the real estate space. And we want to believe, hey, buy value add, buy classy apartments. But does it actually make sense in today's environment? It does not make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, that's not a place where you should risk your money, your generational wealth, the money that you work completely really hard for. You should not risk that on something that, just because, like, you have to ask, what is the incentive and what is the motive behind someone telling you to go buy C-class? Is it because they're teaching you how to do that, and so therefore, did they need to find a conclusion to that? Is it because that's the type of deal they're able to buy? Is it because they're afraid of big dollars and that's why they don't have it? Is it because because they don't have the relationships to buy better properties, which we'll get into later. Like, ask yourself, what is the reason behind them telling you that? Is it for their best interest or your best interest? And you be a judge of that. And whatever makes sense to you, you go and you do that. You do you. We're going to continue buying A-class.
So our philosophy is simple. Cash flow plus appreciation plus tax advantages equal to forever wealth. But the vehicle must change. That's why we're in multifamily class A, built to rent, built to sell, private credit, hybrid structures. We're not here to recycle old formulas. We're here to innovate, adapt, and win. Okay, this is the tea everyone needs, access.
Oh my God. So because people really think all deals are the same, and no, they're definitely not. Two deals can look identical on paper, but one builds generational wealth and the other leaves you crying into your spreadsheet. So our Northwest Arkansas deal, we acquired back in July 2023. And at the time, interest rate was really climbing higher and higher. We didn't even know where the ceiling was going to be. Yet we were able to acquire this property at a 3.49% fixed interest rate on an assumption, while the entire world was paying 7-9% interest. Why was this possible? Relationship, proximity, rooms money can't buy. It pays to know people who know people. And that's what it's all about in 2026. High trust relationships, off-market deals, institutional level partnership, sound fundamentals, really rigorous assumption underwriting, emerging markets, exclusive deal flows, which equals generational wealth, average deal flow equals an average life. And here's exactly the scenario that we've seen in the past couple of years. We've built a tremendous relationship with our lending partner. We're able to negotiate the best loan terms because we are the Kitty Sisters, because we've built a relationship on trust with them, because we've been able to buy deals, we've been able to perform on those loans, we've sold deals that they've been the lender on. And that's why we're able to negotiate nuances that new people don't even recognize. When we negotiate our build to rent community, honestly, that was one of the toughest negotiations because interest rates were still climbing. And yet we went back to two of the final lenders that we were having competed for our business, and we were butting them against each other, and we negotiated line by line. It was very intense. Honestly, it was like, no, I want this specific sentence. And then this one would come back with something else. And it went back and forth, back and forth. It had stuff to do like very technical things like rebalancing of loans, or when do you consider certain things to trigger or certain events. And the key here is because of our experience being in this business for the past 7+ years, we understand what to negotiate. We understand what we can negotiate, and we understand our position with our lender because they are our preferred lender. We've built that kind of relationship. It doesn't start day one, but that's the kind of scenario we're afforded because of our long-term relationship. And beyond that, just in terms of actual deals itself, because of what we have built, we're able to buy A-class properties. And this again goes back to what I just said earlier about not all deals are created equal. When you hear, hey, the Kitty Sisters have a deal, or ABC has a deal, and you think they're just both deals. Hey, the returns look similar.
They look good on paper.
They both look good. Similar return structures, and you say like, okay, I'll pick between the two of them. And we're not tooting our own horns, but definitely dig deeper, because you're going to see there's a lot of differences that people don't recognize until they're actually in the deals. Because it's not just in terms of buying better deals, buying exclusive deals that we have access to, institutional grade deals, but it's also about operational excellence. And it's more important, not just performing deal well when it's performing well, meaning if it's a good deal, how it performs. But the more important part is every deal will have its own hiccups. Nothing in life is going to be a smooth sail, right? That's why mountains have ridges. And so with us, we've survived many different turbulences. We've survived many different challenges, and we've always stepped up. And that's when you invest with someone who's gone through those experiences, who you know that they will stand by you to the very end, that they are going to be here from day one. And even if you compare our deals to like larger institutional investment companies, and you ask like, why should you invest with a smaller firm like ours? Part of the reason is from day one, from acquisition to exiting a deal on the sale, we will be here. We're not acquisition managers or asset managers who are looking to upgrade and just move on to the next position, who probably won't even be there to the end of the deal. We will be here from day one, and we'll be here to the end. And that's why when you buy deals with us, when you invest in deals with the Kitty Sisters, you get to experience the whole gamut of us. Like it or not, we're going to be here in your life for the next 3 to 5 years. So you get the whole enchilada with us.
And we haven't even mentioned, we get access to off-market deal, right? We were in off-market deal and there was no other buyers except us and a seller.
Right. So the exclusivity is important because the deals aren't going to be the same. And that's like almost comparing like, hey, I have a Lamborghini and I have a Vespa, and those are both something that can transport you from one place A to place B, but they're not the same, right? And so when you're investing, even if you don't invest with us or you invest with anyone else, always really dig deeper beyond the deal, who's operating the deals, because that'll be something that would determine if you're going to have generational wealth or you're going to have an average life.
Palm. Bridge loans. Everyone has opinions. What's actually true?
Okay, so here's the truth that nobody likes hearing. Bridge loans, they didn't kill deals. People did. More precisely, the 11 rate hikes. So I'm going to blame that on Jerome Powell. Expiring caps, rising cap costs, short-term loans on long-term business plans. So bridge loan wasn't the villain. The loan to business plan misalignment was. So here's our 2026 playbook on this. Number one is if you have a shorter term business plan, meaning like you want to go in, execute a certain strategy and sell in the next couple of years, then you need to have a loan type that matches that. So perhaps a bridge loan will be the best answer. Why? Because bridge loans tend to have a shorter prepayment penalty. Basically, commercial loans, unlike residential loans, you can't prepay it. You actually pay an interest. You will pay the amount of interest that your loan that you sign on for the loan, and it sort of steps down as you go. So early on in the process, you're going to end up paying millions of dollars if you're trying to exit the loan early. So with bridge loans, that period, instead of being years, is only 18 months. Anything beyond 18 months, you can pay off the loan faster. Bridge loan also gives you that flexibility where you can come in and out. If you have a 5-year loan or a 10-year or 12-year loan, but you want to exit in year 3, you may not be able to.
And that you have to pay the high price,
And fortunately for us, on our first multifamily deal, we actually exited with a 3.11x multiple, which is a 311% return
in 27 months.
In 27 months, in spite of having the prepayment penalty. But unfortunately, that's not the reality that everyone lives. So therefore, that needs to be a good match. If you have a short-term business plan, you can have a little bit longer. For example, if you expect to have a 3-year business plan, then maybe a 3+1.1 bridge loan may work for you. Now, the caveat that we've learned since the last market cycle is that you need to buy the rate cap for the entire period of your business plan. Typically in the past, we would buy a 3-year rate cap and then buy an additional rate cap every other year. But then as rate cap prices increased tremendously, that became untenable for a lot of people. And that's honestly the reason why a lot of people lost their deals. The solution to this is buy all 5 years so that you don't have to revisit this trauma. All you have to work on is paying the extension fee or any small amount that you have to. So if you have a longer horizon, then you can go with fixed debt that are longer term in duration. For example, in our BTR project, we actually have a construction loan in place right now. And once we finish the construction loan, we will refinance to what we call permanent financing or fixed debt financing that's a longer duration. Within that, there'll be options to refinance down the line. And in doing so, we get the benefit of a fixed debt with a longer term horizon. Now, here's an interesting thing that we've done recently is for our build-to-sale property, guess what? We have no loans on it. And that was done strategically because we wanted to make sure that this project had no undue pressure. Honestly, we did the test. We always do a sensitivity test. And in this test, we couldn't sell any property for 66 years. That's when the investment will lose money because the IRR will basically go to zero, which obviously is not even a viable scenario. So there's different options for a different scenario. In the past, we were taught, when we first started, we were taught Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, right? Mm-hmm. Agency debt. Then when the COVID pandemic happened, those agencies went away and we were taught go bridge loan, only bridge loan, without the nuance of understanding, hey, buy the rate cap for the entire business plan cycle, making sure that the business plan works with the loan type. And now we actually learn that we need to be agile and flexible so we have options and exit strategies available. And that's why we've done all three. We've done agency debt. We actually have a HUD loan that has 36 years left on it. We have a construction loan that goes into permanent financing probably in the next year and a half. We have regular bridge loans that we've extended. We have deals where we don't have any debt on it at all. So we have various scenarios, and that's the key, is that be agile. Don't stick to one thing, one loan type. The capital stack has changed. There's a lot of options out there. Just make sure you understand those options, the nuances, the risk and rewards profile, because nothing's gonna be perfect. There's no perfect scenario. There's no perfect loan. It's just what best fits what you're doing. An analogy to this is when you actually make soup, right? You put in all the ingredients, the raw ingredients. You, like, for example, I like cabbage soup recently. So cabbage, tomatoes, onions, chicken broth, chicken, stuff like that. And sometimes you put those things together, but all of a sudden this time the tomato is a bit more sour. So you need to add a little bit of some sweetener to influence the flavor so it matches. So you have to make that adjustment. You have to make that adjustment to the soup. So therefore, that's the same thing with the loan products. Like right now, the capital stack has changed. Even the capital stacks in terms of the equity, in terms of the money that you raise from investors, what are they looking for? What kind of profile? We spoke about this earlier today, is that our job as investors is always to understand what is our investors' current needs, not what they wanted 5 years ago, not what they wanted yesterday, but
what they want today so that we can deliver for them.
Right.
This one is personal, Palm. What did 2025 teach us about partnerships?
Oh boy. So we've always said this, that we live in an age of partnership, but not all partnerships are created equal. A partnership really doesn't show itself when things are good. It shows the relationship when things go sideways. And there's partners who show up and there's other partners who would evaporate. And we've experienced both. As everyone knows, 2024, 2025 has been challenging, not just for the industry, but for us as well. We're lucky that our challenges are things that we can overcome. There's other people who aren't as fortunate. And what we've seen is like our determination to preserve our investors' money is paramount to us, but it's not necessarily paramount to everyone. And that's one of the reality that we learn and we have to accept as we increase our awareness of this. Yes, we love partnering people. We love bringing new people on because we once were given that opportunity and we still believe in this asset class so much. And we absolutely believe in the age of partnership. We would not be here without the partners who brought us along, who we helped as well. And we want to continue fortifying that. We want to continue bringing people along. Now, to be honest, that criteria has definitely changed. The barrier to entry for our partners have risen. And that's because the alignment needs to be there. Again, people can talk a lot of nice things, can have great lip service. But when, you know, the thing hits the fan, like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, did you even show up, right?
Are you in the meeting? Some people literally like didn't show up to these meetings. And I told Nan, you know, when we sell and we make a lot of money, is this person going to come asking for a cut? Because just because you don't agree to something in a partnership, we're never going to agree 100% with whatever we say, right? Like we will have different perspectives. What we strive for is, hey, what's best interest of our investors? Even if I don't agree with this path, but if I believe you're coming from a point of view of protecting, preserving the wealth of our investors, I'm game for it. If the entire group, if we all collectively agree on a path, I will show up and do 100% of the job necessary to get us to the end. Some people, they don't agree with your path and they don't show up at all. And that's unacceptable to me.
And I heard other groups, they can't get hold of the co-GPs.
That's even worse. So for us right now, like I said earlier, yes, we will continue to partner with people because we're not lone wolves and we're not going to be able to do this alone. But the people we partner with, the ones that we've already gone through and vetted and know who they are, know their character, know their spirit, know their fight, we will continue working with them. But the other one, the ones that show their true colors, oh, never again.
Bye.
Goodbye. And that's a loss on them because I feel like partnering with us, again, is an opportunity that they are not going to be able to experience. And new people who come in, you're going to have to prove yourself a little bit harder because of what has happened in the past. But it's that doesn't mean that there's no opportunities. And I think like I look forward to learning and growing with all the new people that will have the opportunity to partner with in the future. So now, again, our standards are 10 times higher. We want partners with integrity, complementary skills, operational excellence, accountability, investor-first mindset, long-term alignment. Multifamily experience isn't required. Character and capacity are.
So if you want to stay relevant in the most competitive era ever in real estate, here's the formula.
Community, innovation, exclusive deal flow access, aligned capital, aligned partners.
This is how you stop chasing the market and start owning the game.
Tommy and I'm Nancy. Together we make the Kitty Sisters. We're apartment syndicators, entrepreneurs, and educators with big dreams and a $300 million multifamily apartment portfolio. We're into helping successful entrepreneurs and founders who have a passion for real estate and $100K to $5 million to invest, all aiming to turn their business profits into a lasting legacy through income-producing asset investment. This is Cashflow Multipliers, a podcast dedicated to your financial freedom and the lifestyle you deserve.